Okay. Let me just give out the Ma'amakomos pages. Here you have. I'm just going to put it into two piles, and as people come in, you'll have one pile say page one, it'll have two on the other side, and the other will have page three on the top, and it'll have four on the other side.
So one of each two.
Yeah, no, it's okay, there's plenty. You don't have to use to be stingy, and there's photocopying. Okay.
One of these.
Now, one of the topics for Parshas Vayakhel, which appears over and over again throughout these Parshas in terms of the building of the Mishkan, but specifically over and over again in Parshas Vayakhel, is Chacham Lev, Ish Chacham Lev. So if you have the blue chumash in here, I'll tell you what page it's on. We'll open up to Perek Lamed Vav.
Can you bring me the next one there?
Yeah. Okay then, Perek Lamed Vav. You have a chumash? Very good. And this is on page 224 in the blue chumashim.
Your shirt collar, you want to tuck in?
Yeah, I know. I ran out today and I didn't put stays in, so there's nothing I could do to
keep it.
So if you take a look here in Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Beis, so Gershon, if you open up to page 224, it says Vayikra Moshe, etc. Betzal, blah blah blah. That's not for us, but Kol Ish Chacham Lev. Now the impression you get from the phrase, you know, from the fact that Moshe is addressing himself to the Ish, how do we describe this person? He's a Chacham Lev. What would you assume? How would you describe such a person in your own words? If you call him a Chacham Lev.
But insightful? What do you want to...
No, I don't mean that. You're entering into the question of what Chachmah is. I'm not up to that question yet, but I'm saying if you describe a person as being a Chacham Lev, what does that mean?
I see a combination. Both he's very wise and he's very sincere.
Okay. You're going way beyond my question here. You want to know what exactly is Chachmah? You know, is it wisdom? Is it maturity? Is it intuition? But all I meant to say was that if he's an Ish Chacham Lev, that means he's achieved one thing in his lifetime. If you want to give him credit for something, at least you can give him credit for what? What did he achieve? What did he master? Chachmah. Whatever that Chachmah is, I'm not entering into the question how to define Chachmah. But then look at the next phrase. And then it says, Asher Nosan Hashem Chachma Belibo. Which is very funny because now you're implying that Hashem gave him Chachma. But you just finished telling me that he's a Chacham Lev. Like on his own, he's a Chacham Lev. Just to put together this pasuk is a little bit odd. We'll see again the same concept back in Parshas Ki Tisa. If you have a chance, he'll tell you what page it's on. It's Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Vav. And there it says, "Vani hineinu sati itoes aliyah ben achisamach l'matidah v'leiv kol chacham lev u'b'leiv kol chacham lev nasati chachma," as if to say that God gave chachma to someone who's a chacham. Well, if he's already a chacham, so why do we say that Hashem gave him chachma? Do you follow my point? Yeah,
page 211.
Okay, so that's on page 211. So if you take a look in a pasuk in Daniel, which of course Daniel is in Aramaic, but in this case it's not so complicated for us. It says, Yahav Chachmasa, he with a capital H, gave his Chachma lechakimin, to those who are smart. Well, if they're already smart, why did he have to give them Chachma? It's a kind of a vicious cycle almost. You know, which came first? The Chachma was there, or Hashem gave him the Chachma. Well, you're describing it as a Chacham Lev, and you're saying Hashem gave Chachma to a Chacham Lev. So if you take a look at the Gemara in Brachos, which is number 5 on your page, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosein Chachma, El Mi Sheyesh Lo Chachma. Isn't that very strange? As Rav Yochanan is actually taking this pasuk very literally, and claiming that God will give Chachma to someone who already has Chachma. And he based himself on the pasuk in Daniel, Yoyev Chachma, so to whom does God grant Chachma? Lechachimin, so to someone who's already a Chacham. And then he goes on And he quotes Rabbi Avoh, who again derives the same conclusion back from our pasuk, and that is who believe kol chacham lev nasati chachma. So God gives chachma to someone who's a chacham. Very strange kind of. And again, unless you're a chacham, God's not going to give you chachma. Okay. So you have to be a chacham, and then if you have chachma, then Hashem is going to give you chachma. Very strange. Yeah. Listen, Yehuda, you might not be impressed by this, but I have an hour shiur based on this question. So hopefully, if you're a skeptic now, by the end of the hour, you won't be so cynical about it. This is a gewaldige chiddush, what we're saying today. That God only gives chachma to someone who's a chacham. In this depths of meaning here, we're learning Torah. Torah can be understood on many, many levels. So let's begin with Rav Chaim Volozhin in his Nefesh HaChayim. And he too quotes both the Gemara in Brachos and the Pasuk in our Parsha, as well as the Pasuk in Daniel. And after doing so, Ein HaKosh Baruch Hu Nosein Chachma El Misha Yesh Bo Chachma I don't understand what's going on. If God only gives chachma to someone who already has chachma, is chachma rishona me'ayin timotze? Where did the first original chachma come from? Right, God gives chachma, but he already had chachma. So it's very paradoxical because God's going to give chachma to someone who already has chachma, but where did the first chachma come from? It didn't come from God, so where did it come from? So this was the question of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and what we're going to try to analyze is the Ramban and the Or Chaim HaKadosh, and possibly even trace this back to Rabbeinu Yonah, and see that there is an answer to this question of Rav Chaim Volozhin. Now, we looked at the Pasuk in Vayakel, in Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Beis. And that was on page 224. Let's just fast forward to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, which you'll see on the bottom of page 225, the very next page. And there, it says the following. Vayavo kol ish, you'll see it here on the original page that I gave you, number 7. Vayavo kol ish asher nisa'o libo v'chol asher nadvarucho. Now watch what's going on here in this pasuk. This is really an interesting pasuk. The Torah uses two phrases, two adjectives to describe the people who brought the nedava and came forward with their contributions for the building of the Mishkan, and these two phrases would seem to be identical, and yet grammatically, in terms of the words themselves, they're different. The first phrase is ish asher nidavo libo, so to speak, his heart prompts him. And then the second phrase is nadvarucho, oh, so his spirit prompts him. And the Ramban is very concerned about this. You know, how could the Torah give two different descriptions to what really amounts to the exact same thing? And the Ramban in two places, both in Parashas Ki Tisa and in Parashas Vayakel, addresses this question. And he says, first of all, why does the Torah go out of its way to point out Bezalel, Karasi B'Shem? You know, Hashem goes out of his way and says, look at Bezalel, he has a special status, Karasi B'Shem. Omar Hashem leMoshe re'ei karasi b'shem. Moshe Amar liYisro re'u kara Hashem b'shem. Over and over again. Hatam. What's the greatness and the stature of Bezalel? You and I might say, okay, he was a great engineer, a great architect, but why does the Torah over and over again go out of its way to say karasi b'shem? Moshe says kara Hashem b'shmo, re'u kara Hashem b'shmo. And again, you and I can give many different answers to this question. The Ramban has his own unique answer. And he says the following. The kind of work that was necessary, the kind of halacha that was necessary for the building of the Mishkan, was not only foreign to the work that they did for 400 years or for 210 years in Mitzrayim, but it was even antithetical. In other words, the malacha that they were dedicated to at what's called Avodas Parach in Mitzrayim, Bechomer Ulebilvenim, not only did it exclude, meaning did it not include The Melech has Kesef, Zov, Charoshes, and Avonim Tovos, and that very fine kind of artisanship, artisan work with the precious metals and precious stones. But more than that, it's even antithetical. The more you work Bechomer u'belevenim, the less feasible it is for you to do that very sensitive, soft, and accurate, precise work. V'hu pele. The fact that Bezalel ben Uri existed as a professional in his expertise in his field is a pele. Why? How could you find someone who's a gadol b'kesef b'zav b'charoshes b'etzem b'choshev rokem b'oreg? Because even if you would study in front of great scholars, you would never find a baki, an expert in all these different fields. And he says, Hayodim are regila b'hem. He says there are those who are experts in this field. Maybe they're experts in these metallic structures or forms. There are those who are experts in wood cutting. Those who are experts in tapestry and weaving. But to have someone who is a baki bakol, you know, the breadth of his scope is all inclusive. And not only that, who's going to teach Uri? Who's going to teach Bezalel ben Uri? What are you going to tell me? He studied in front of Chachamim. Maybe he took a course from each one of the Chachamim. Yeah, but who are these Chachamim? Shayideyem tamid betit uberefes. Their hands were working down in the dregs, you know, in the cement and in the straw. Lo yuchlu lasuspem. They did not have any experience in umnus daka v'yofa, in this sensitive and precise kind of artisan work. V'od, and not only that, Uri was special on a spiritual level. This is something I think, Gershon, you were referring to, that, you know, in terms of his attributes, he understood and revealed the sodos, the secrets of the Mishkan. He was great in Chachma, Tvuna, and Das, and all the Kalim. He knew why Hashem commanded in those Kalim, and what was the symbolic meaning of all those Kalim. Now, if you fast forward to the Ramban in Bayakel, which is on the top here, the left, number 9, he says that here there's a difference between Nisa'o Libo and Nadva Rucho. Nisa'o Libo is a reference to not to those who contributed from their pocket and brought forward their gifts, the expensive gifts of gold and silver, etc., but rather the Osei HaMalacha. So basically, Klal Yisrael falls into two different groups. We'll call it Group A and Group B. Group A...
donors.
Okay, you're ahead of me. The donors, okay, so we'll do it your way. So the donors, that's going to be considered Nadva Rucho. But first, we have a group called Nisao Libo. What's Nisao Libo? Not the donors. These are people who didn't have anything in their pockets to give. But they were Osei HaMalach. They volunteered to do the work itself. Now, how are they able to achieve this work? He says the Torah describes them not as those who are Nadva Rucho. You know, Nadva Rucho, that's fine for the Heviu es Atruma, those who give the gifts. But we're talking about Niso Libo. Lekarva El HaMalacha. It's unbelievable. The Nesius HaLev is what allows them to bridge the gap between total ignorance of these Malachos and the ability to perform them on the highest perfect level. Amongst this group, there was no one. What do we call it today?
Hachshara.
Yeah, but what's the word that I'm referring to? The apprentice. Yeah. Okay. There were no apprentices, because to do an apprenticeship, you need someone who has a long tradition of experience in that field. But lo haya lahem lo malamed es hamalacha se'elu. Or Misha Imein by Em Yadav, or someone who had experience by doing these exercises. So how were these people able to come forward and successfully implement these very sensitive malachas? They had no one to teach them, they were not apprenticeship, there was no malamed. And the answer that the Torah gives, says the Ramban, is Matza B'tivo, somehow he found within his own nature, Sheyada Lasos came. And here the Ramban quotes a pasuk in Divrei Hayom, which you'll see, don't lose the place in the Ramban, but if you take a look at number 10, right below the Ramban, The pasuk says, "Vayigbal libo b'darkei Hashem." There's something in the lave, in the heart of a person, that a person is motivated to achieve darkei Hashem, to go in the ways of Hashem and serve Hashem, and therefore he's able through this vayigbal libo to achieve something which, ostensibly on the surface of it, he would never be able to achieve. Lomar lifnei Moshe. These people came in front of Moshe, lomar lo, and they declared in front of Moshe, Ani eseh kol asher adoni dover. That's the pasuk later on. That they each said to Hashem, to Moshe, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. How is that possible? Ukvaris karti zeh beseder acher. Back in Kitis, I already mentioned, as we saw earlier, that there's something amazing here about nesius libo. That nesius libo means that your heart prompts you to find within your own nature, within your own, shall we say, intuition, to rise up to an occasion, to implement malacha and do it perfectly, even though you've never learned that malacha. And if anything, you've learned the opposite of the malacha. V'hinei omar shebo lifnei Moshe kol asher nisa'o libo lekarvel ha-malacha. That's called nesius halev. Nesius halev means it's something within my heart that prompts me to say, yes, I can do it. Even though I can't do it, but I can do it. And then there's another phrase here, says the Ramban. V'kol asher nadva rucho oso. That's already something else. That's already a viv truma. That's nedivus haruach, means a certain sense of being magnanimous, you know, the willingness to part with your possessions. And Moshe says to the people, Kara Hashem b'shem Bitzalel. He says that God calls Bitzal by his name, and the reason for that is because Bitzal is so great that despite the fact that he has no teachers, and despite the fact that his scope and his expertise is so broad and so all-inclusive, and then Moshe says to the Chacham Lev that they should come forward, and if it's the Sol Libo, they'll do the Malacha, and they'll follow in the footsteps of Bitzalel. If they don't fit that category, then at least they'll bring the Nedava that's called Nedivus Harua. So we have Nasol Libo and we have Nadvarucho. And the Ramban says there's a definite distinction between the two. Each phrase refers to a different group of the Jews. One group is the Jews that somehow, miraculously, were able to commit themselves to do this malach and do it well, even though just from the natural law there would be no possibility. They didn't apprentice, they didn't have any expertise. But the lave moves them, and that's by Yigbal Libi B'Darkei Hashem. And then there's another group that is very magnanimous about their possessions. They come forward with contributions. Having seen the Ramban, let's take a look at the Or Chaim HaKadosh, which is number 11 on your page. He says the following. Da, you should know, ki yesh tei dargot b'mitnadvim. Amongst those who came forward to volunteer, there were two different levels. Ha'echad, number one, is ha'mitnadev b'rotzon nafsho kifi yecholto v'erech mamona. He says that the second category, which is called nadvarucho, refers to those who had possessions, and based on their possessions, they separate a certain, shall we say, percentage, and they offered it as a contribution to Moshe Rabbeinu. L'shlol she'eino osa dover kamo tzar b'nafsho. You might have thought that, look, you know, I don't really want to part with my money, but I have to do so, so I'll skim off a certain percentage, I'll give 10% or whatever it is, because I have it, I'm compelled to do so, an obligation to do so. No, the Torah says that they fit into the category of nadvarucho. They were very happy and excited about giving according to their needs. But now he says there's a much greater level, which is called nesol libo. And again, he's not learning like the Ramban that the Sol Libo refers to the Osei HaMelacha. He's learning that the whole pasuk is referring to those who came forward with contributions. So what is this high level, this super duper level of the Sol Libo? HaMisnadev Yoser Miyacholto. He is so madly in love and craves to build a Mishkan that his lev moves him, his heart moves him to go beyond his means. HaLev Minaseyu, his heart raises him up. And he's not that wealthy, but he'll give as if he were somebody who's wealthy. He'll give a very prized and expensive possession of his because he wants to be part of this great, glorious, magical moment in Jewish history of building the Mishkan, that the Shekhinah should come down. And the Pasuk tells us that amongst Klal Yisrael we have both these levels. And it starts by opening up with the higher level, that's called the Sol Libo. And therefore he's called Ish. You'll notice that in the second phrase of Asher not Ruko Oso, he leaves out, he omits the word Ish. Ish always indicates the most significant person, like Ish Yudi Ayav Shushan Abira, which we spoke about last Chovish class. The Ish here, Asher Neso Libo, is someone who goes beyond his means, beyond his financial capabilities, because his heart moves him. That's an unbelievable level. Could you imagine someone who wants to give not 10% of his possessions, but 20% or even more than that? That's already the soul limo. The lower level is for the person to say, look, this is what I'm capable of doing. I'm obligated to give this. I'm very happy and it's I have the nedivus haruach to do this, but I'm not an ish. I'm not on that high pinnacle. I'm going to give according to my means. Now all this, my friends, is in the Rishonim. And we'll come back to the Rishonim later, Belineta, when we get to Rabbeinu Yonah. But now, we're going to fast forward. We're taking a time machine from many, many centuries ago to our century. When I say our century, I mean the 20th century. We're already in the 21st century, officially. But about 100 years ago, there was a great mashgiach named Rabbeinu Yerucham, Rabbi Yerucham. Not the Rishon Rabbi Yerucham, but the giant of Musar of Yerucham, and he was the mashgiach in the Mir Yeshiva, great back in Europe, and he wants to claim that this concept of Nisol Libo Lekarva El Hamalacha, which we said according to the Ramban they didn't have a Malamed, and yet they said that we can find within our nature the ability Vayigbal Libo Dark Hashem to achieve this goal and implement this very complicated and sophisticated Malacha. He says that this is typical of Adirei Olam. Who are the greats in the Jewish people of all generations? He says that you have Ashirim Gdolim, they're wealthy people throughout Jewish history. Ruvam Kekulam Ba'u L'si Aliyasam. How did they achieve their wealth? Because they took a Yozma.
Initiative.
Great. They came up with some, you know, breakthrough idea. No one had thought of that idea. It wasn't patented, if you will. And it was a fantastic idea. No. And they just dedicated themselves day and night to see that project to its fruition. A person who doesn't have Yozma, he tells you how to say that in Yiddish, but anyway, he's sort of laid back. You know, he doesn't have the courage to go forward with a new idea. You know, he's not willing to take a rabbanus up in the Golan Heights, you know, something like that. So in such a case, lo yitachen, such a person who's not willing to make that leap of faith with an initiative to do something wild in his life, you know, he'll be okay. You know, he'll be an average Joe, but he'll never go up to the top of the top. And he says, if you want to look at someone who personifies a Bal Yozma, someone who has initiative, and he's able to sort of rise up above physical barriers and achieve great things, you know, he's going to climb, you know, the highest mountain. What was the highest mountain? Everest? I don't know. Whatever it is, the highest mountain, the Jungfrau, whatever it is, the highest mountain. And he says, I'm going to do it. And it's impossible, but he says, I'm going to do it. If he fits into that category, then he's not one of the midgets, he's one of the giants. He's one of those who are going to achieve great things. And the Torah wants to go out of its way to convey this message, that sometimes you have to take an initiative that goes way beyond your capabilities. A wild dream, an enterprise or a project that goes beyond the physical capabilities. And that's called Nesius Lev. Nesius Lev in our parasha here in Vayakel is a category of individuals. He calls them Balei Yozma. Their nature is such that they want to take that leap, that initiative, Terem, even before they studied it. They've never been to you know, to professional schools to learn these crafts, and yet they're willing to say, this is my Derech Hashem, this is what I can do, and I'm going to come in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and declare that I can do it. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes in the name of Hashem and presents an enterprise in front of the Jewish people. Who is willing to come forward and get involved in this very complicated enterprise? And Moshe Rabbeinu, why does he think he can do it? Because he knows who Klal Yisrael is made up of. We are made up of Am Sgula, Mamleches Konim Goy Kadosh. Our interest is Ledov Kabo. And here you want to turn to the other side of your page. And he says, our purpose in life is, we have one goal. We want to get close to the Shekhinah. And if we want to get close to the Shekhinah, then even if we have no experience in the past, we're not going to be inhibited even for a moment. We're not going to retract and recoil. We're going to go up, stand up there and say, Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nasa. We're dedicated to do it. And if Hashem wants us to build a Mishkan, somehow, we don't know how, we're going to successfully do it. With that yozma, with that initiative, they were able to become the Sol Libo, and written for all posterity, recorded in the Chumash, the Netzach Nitzachim, as the greats of Israel. And he quotes here a very interesting medrash in Sefer Dvarim. It says in the medrash, based on a pasuk in Mishlei, that we should learn from the aunts. How do you say it in British English? The aunts? Jeremy, help me out here. We call it the ants. I don't know, but that doesn't sound right. You know, those little creatures.
Oh, ants.
Oh, you also call them ants?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you...
Aunt is a relative.
Oh, yeah. Ah, so for a relative you call it an aunt, and for an ant you call it an ant.
Yeah.
Great. Oh, wow. This is the overlap between the Brits and the other Anglo-Saxons. Okay. Well, we got ants here. What do we want to learn from the ants? So it's unbelievable. Shlomo Mel tells us in Mishlei that the ants are antithetical to what we call atzlus. To that, remember that attitude we spoke about before, the laid-back attitude. You know, I'll wait till work comes my way. That's not an ant. The ant builds an unbelievable amount of batim, of little little houses, so to speak. And it spends 6 months grabbing on to very heavy objects, again relative to its size, of chitim and so forth and so on. Machnes zambot kayitz. When it comes to the summer months, it gathers together all these pieces of grains. And why is it going to do so? The average lifespan of an ant, believe it or not, is about 6 months. So by the time the kayitz comes around and the 6 month period reaches its fruition, It dies, so it's not going to enjoy this. Amra, but the ant declares, Shema Yigzar Alaya Kodesh Baruch Hu Chayim. Again, I don't know if the ant actually says this in words, because the last time I met an ant, it didn't speak to me. But it's conceptually, in terms of the essence of the being, like, you know, like we have Pirkei Shira, you know, the Shira of the ant, or the Tefillah of the ant, is maybe Hakadosh Baruch Hu will have compassion on me. And instead of deciding that I will perish, God will decide and declare that I will live. V'yeli mukhan lechol. And now I have all this grain that I collected ready for me to eat. And this is the idea of an ant that has this initiative to continue working and to do the mitzvahs. And that's what we have to learn from the ant, to do the mitzvahs. And sometimes we have to take upon ourselves jobs that are way beyond our capabilities. Right, I'm going to skip now for a while because, you know, time is of the essence here, to number 13. And you'll see that there's a ton of Dvei Elio, and Elio HaNavi declares, Leficha Chayisi Omer Shekol Echa V'Echem Yisrael Chayev Lomar Masai Yagiu Maisai Lemaisa Avosai Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. Now let's just think about this. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, let's face it, are the Arzei Alavana, the greatest cedar trees in all of Israel. These are the great giants. Is it within my koach, within my potential, to reach that level of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? What is Tana d'Eliyahu trying to say to me? I can't live in this fantasy world and convince myself that I can be Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. But the answer is that a person within the framework of his potential, of his avoda, has an infinite amount of potential. There are things that he would never guess and never dream that he could achieve. And if he wants to be like the Gdolim, like the giants, like the Anakim, the great giants of his forefathers, of his ancestors, then he'll say, you know what? I can do with my initiative, with my dedication, I can do something and succeed, even if it's beyond my capacity. That's the message here inherent in this statement of Tana d'Bei Eliyahu. And the truth is that there are social scientists who claim that most people work, you know, if you imagine six cylinders, they usually work with one, maybe two cylinders. There's a lot more that a human being is capable of. So let's now swing back to our original topic. We spoke about the Chachme Lev. So what is Chachma? Ben Zoma makes a statement in the fourth parak of Avos, Ezu Chacham, who is this Chacham? He's the Lomed Mikol Adam, as it says, Mikol Molamde Iskalti. So let's go back to the Rishonim now, to Rabbeinu Yonah. What does it mean, HaLomed Mikol Adam? He says the following, Chachmei Umos, the wise people amongst the nations tell us, Ki Ayodea Kol HaChachmos, even if he knows Chachma, he's a great wise person, he studied in the great universities, and he went to Cambridge, and Oxford, and Harvard, and Yale, and MIT. But in Eino Oev Chachma, if he doesn't love Chachma, Eino Chachma, he might have all these five beta kappas dangling from his shoulders, from his breast pockets, but he's not a Chachma, he's a Tipesh. Why? Because if he doesn't love Chachma, Eino oev chachma ki hi hadas, because the essence of knowledge is really the love of knowledge, the thirst for knowledge. Ha ohev ota umit avei la, he craves knowledge, even if he doesn't know anything, he's a chacham. Why? Because he will achieve chachma. Now here, I want to just take a little bit of a break. But don't lose the place if you can. Right, we're up to the second paragraph from Rabbeinu Yonah. I want to show you something in number 17 here. There's a very fascinating story. You know that the great Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir was Rav Chaim Shulevitz, and his uncle was Rav Yafin, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of a yeshiva in Lita called Navarak. There's a lot to say about Navarak, but that's not relevant to us now. What's relevant to us is that Rav Chaim tells us that he once visited his uncle in Navarak. And he was very curious. He wanted to know if his uncle would tell him who was the best boy in the yeshiva.
Wow.
Okay? So this is in the paragraph that says, Siper Pam. Do you have such a paragraph?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. He says that he asked his uncle, Rabbi Avram Yafin, on one day, he says to him, tell me, can you show me who is the best boy, a bachur mufchar biyoter b'yeshiva? Okay, so at this point, no, this has nothing to do with that. So at this point, the Rosh Yeshiva points to one person, and he keeps pointing to a different person. But first he points to, let's say, Reuven, and he says about Reuven, he's the Amkon HaGadol biyoser. He has the deepest mind, the most profound thinker. Then he tells his nephew, look at this boy, Shimon. He's the biggest masbid in the yeshiva. Then he goes on and on, pointing out each boy. He says, this is the biggest Yiri Shamayim in the yeshiva. This is the biggest Baki in the yeshiva. Yeah. And he goes on and on and on. So finally, Reb Chaim is a little frustrated. So he says to his uncle, okay, fine, these are all greats. But tell me, I asked you, who is the best boy in the yeshiva? And at that point, his uncle takes him by the hand, and he takes him into one corner of the yeshiva, and he points to a bachur, a certain student. He says, that's the best boy in the yeshiva. So Reb Chaim says to his uncle, I don't understand. Before you went through all the great students in the yeshiva, and each one was great in his field, and you didn't even mention the name of this boy who sits there in the back of the corner of the yeshiva. So Rav Avram, the yeshiva, says to his nephew, to Reb Chaim, he says to him, that it's true. Each one of these has a certain milah. And in that milah, in that area, he is the greatest. But you know what's the milah of this one in the back? He's the mavakish. He's the ultimate craver of Torah, of Chachmah. He's the mavakish. He wants everything. He has an insatiable desire for Torah, for Avoda. Oso mevakesh sha'ol Avram Avram Yafin Zatzal Shokad Kol Yom of Laila V'Yom V'Omel B'Torah. This became the stipler, the Kilos Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Kanevsky. Today his son is considered the Gol Hador of Chaim Kanevsky, but the father was even greater than the son. Nobody appointed me to make comparisons, but the Kilos Yaakov was an unbelievable Gol. And people don't know that he learned in the yeshiva in the Vardik. You see, the Vardik had a very strange reputation because of their shita in Musar. But people don't realize that there were great Talmidei Chachamim who came out of Nevada. And since Rabosai were mentioning Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, I want to show you something here in number 16 from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Yeah, do you have it on page 2 on the top left column? And he quotes the pasuk that we started with today. Atot daber el kol chachme lev asher milesiv ruach chachma. He says that there's an attribute here, there's a description of chachme lev. Well, for example, back in a little bit further in Parshas Vayakel, it says Ish Chacham Lev. Again, the same phrase, and then it says Asher Nosar Hashem Chachma. So, how does he get to this stage of this category or description of being a Chacham Lev if Hashem has to give him Chachma, but Hashem is only giving him Chachma if he's a Chacham Lev? This is the kasha of Reb Chaim Mivalozhin. So you take a look at the second paragraph. He says, the pasuk says, "Belev kol Chacham Lev nasati Chachma." It means that we understand that the Lev Chacham is already prepared by the person. So the person with his own work, he becomes a Lev Chacham. And if he's achieved this level of being a Lev Chacham, then Hashem says, I'm going to give him Chacham. And he says that that's what Shlomo Melch means when he says that Hashem nasan Chachma l'Shlomo kasha diber. What does it mean, kasha diber? That God bestowed wisdom on Shlomo as he spoke. So Chazal tell us that Hashem said to Shlomo Melech, you know what, I promise you I'll grant you one wish. And what do you want? Of all the things in the world, will you choose one thing? What is that which you want? And the answer is that he, Shlomo, had a tshuka, he had a desire to crave for only one thing. He asked for Chachma. And that's what it says, that Hashem says, Sha'al ma etein lecha, I'll give you whatever you ask for. And Hashem says, Yan asher sha'alta sadover hazeh, you asked for this thing. V'lo sha'alta liyomim rav, you didn't ask for longevity. Lo sha'alta osha, you didn't ask for money, for wealth. Hine asisi kidvarechi nasati lecha lev chacham. Why was Shlomo Zoche to be the wisest of all men? Why did Hashem grant to bestow upon him Chachma? It's because Shlomo Melch had the tshuka. He had a tremendous desire and a craving for Chachma. Koish tokeik ala Chachma. He had such a craving for Chachma that he gave up on wealth, on living a long life. These were all insignificant to him. If he had one choice to ask for one request, he would ask for Chachma. Even though fortune in life is most important, but nevertheless there's something even more important than that, and that's Chachma. And the Rambam writes that the reason why, if a Rebbe, Chas v'Shalom, kills someone b'shogeg, and the Rebbe has to go to the Ir Miklat, then we send all the Talmidim into the Ir Miklat with him. Or the other way around, if his Talmid goes into the Ir Miklat, then the Rebbe has to go and join him in the Ir Miklat. Why, says the Rambam, Perek Vav Milchus Rotzeach, because Chaye Balei Achochmo Mevakshea, the low Talmud is Kemisa Ein Chashuvim. Because life for someone who desires Chachma and doesn't have Chachma is like death. It's not life at all. So Shlomo Melech understood that all he wanted to ask for was Chachma, and therefore he was zocher that Hashem gave him Chachma. And this now could swing around to our parsha in Vayakel. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Mikana to Lemeidim, that the Lev Chachma into which Hashem is going to give Chachma is the Lev of Amavakesh Chachma. That's why the title of this essay is called Bakoshas HaChachma. Im Yevakesh Chachma, if a person desires it, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Belev Chacham Lev Nasati Chachma, I will grant him Chachma. And this is all very similar to what Rabbeinu Yonah was saying here on the bottom right. If you recall in the second half of number 15, that Shlomo says in Tevakshena ke kesev ke matmonim tchapsena v'yoz tovin etc. v'das alkim timotze. In other words, if you'll be mavakesh chachma, if that's your top priority in life, if you have a taiva, tremendous desire for chachma, then kesef is hevel. Then from your perspective, money and possessions is vanities, it's worthless. And oz tovin yiras Hashem, you'll be able to achieve chachma, true chachma, das alukim timotze. And therefore Ben Zoma says, Ezu chacham halomei mikol adam. In other words, he loves chachma to such an extent that he'll ask everyone, whoever he could possibly, anyone he meets who could possibly give him some sort of knowledge or insight. Af misha eni yodea, ki im dover echad. Even if the person knows only one thing, I'm going to ask him, teach me that one thing that you know. And I'll go to another person, like a bee who goes from flower to flower, and squeeze that person for whatever he knows. V'oz, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, yatzliach darko, v'oz yaskil, when and how will he achieve chachma, says David HaMelech, mikol melumdai eskalti, from those I taught, but they teach me. David HaMelech says, "Yesh lomi mikol adam," and a person shouldn't say, "Well, I know more than him. Why should I learn from him?" Being cool on from everyone, you could learn something. Is mashallah adam shehifsid klikatan alomi kol adam yevakesh also if he's missing something. I just wanted to share with you Rav Shimshel Fal Hirsch here, who says something interesting about the hotzas hadeshen. You know that on a daily basis, after the candelabra was lit during the course of the day, they had to do what's called hotzas hadeshen, to take out the ashes in order to clean out the candelabra for the new day. And not only that, it seems like hotzas hadeshen, which takes out the, as we said before, the clears out the ashes to prepare it for the next day, is called an avoda. That puts it on a very high status. What is the meaning, or the, you know that Rav Shimshel Hirsch is famous for looking for symbolic meaning in mitzvahs. What is the symbol, or the deeper symbolic message in this mitzvah of Hotzas Hadeshen? And he says the following. He says, this is the way we introduce a new day of service to Hashem. He says, Hotzas Hadeshen expresses the thought that every day brings the whole Jewish mission to be accomplished afresh. In other words, we press the fresh refresh button. As if nothing had been accomplished. I took out the deshen, whatever was left over from yesterday, it's gone. I'm beginning a brand new day. And I'm going to dedicate myself with new devotion, love, sacrifice, with new energy. Nothing that I've done in the past will lessen my new energy as I go on to face the new day. Let me forget about what I accomplished yesterday. Cut off those thoughts. Because if I keep lingering and thinking about what I accomplished yesterday, it's going to impede my ability to project myself forward towards and energize myself forward towards accomplishing the new day. Woe unto him! With self-complacency and smugness, he thinks that he can lay back on his laurels. He's already achieved. Why does he need a task of a new day with fresh devotion? He filled it yesterday. No. Take out the deshen. Every trace of yesterday's sacrifice is to be removed from the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach now generates a brand new avodah, and I can refresh myself with new energy for the new day. A day of devotion and sacrifice. And you may know Rav Baruch Simon. Does that name mean anything to anybody?
Yes, a book somewhere.
Do we have his books? The Yemei Baruch is 5 volumes on Chumash. In any event, here in Chumash Mos, in last week's Parsha Kitisa, 2 weeks ago, I should say, he says a vard here in the name of Rabbi Yitzhak Sorotskin. Does anybody know Rabbi Yitzhak Sorotskin?
He lived off of Chumash.
He's unbelievable. How do you know that?
You still live near.
That I lived on Sorotskin Street.
Yeah,
I heard what I wanted to hear, not what you said. I lived off Rabbi Yitzhak Sorotskin, meaning the following. I dedicated a chunk of my life to study the laws of Talmud Torah and the Rambam. I have hundreds of pages typed up. I just haven't gone over them with the final editing, so therefore I never published them. But the ones I went through tons of Sfarim. The one sefer that I loved the most was called the Rinas Yitzchak of Rabbi Yitzchak Sorotskin. He's a Rashiv in Lakewood, not in the Lakewood Yeshiva. He has his own yeshiva in Lakewood. He's from the famous Telzer Sorotskin family. He's a genius of geniuses.
Who's alive today?
He's alive and well today, Baruch Hashem. Next time you're in Lakewood, if you get through the traffic there, take a look at his yeshiva. And Yoshua is designated as the replacement for Moshe Rabbeinu, correct?
Sure.
Who's the designate today for that prime minister? I do not know. But at that, back in the day, it was Yoshua. Okay. Key. And why is Yoshua chosen? And the answer is Nar, because he's called a Nar. Right? You remember that?
Yeah.
He doesn't quote the whole pasuk here, but in any event, anybody remember the pasuk by heart? Yeah, but where's the word Nar? Is not there?
Nar
lo yomish mitochol. So isn't that a little bit odd? You know, the God is choosing a successor for Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the Nar. You know, Nar is like a child, a fool. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the father of the Musa movement, quoted by Rabbi Yitzchak Sorotskin, which he probably got this from the son of his family, Rabbi Yisrael said the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Nar. What does it mean, Nar? Nar is someone that grows and you can see his progress and his achievements on a daily basis. Nar is someone, a youth, who has that refreshed energy and projects himself from one day to the next to go higher and higher. He's not satisfied to sit back on his laurels. And that's what the Baal HaTurim in Parshas Truma speaks about, the Kruvim. The Chazal say in the Gemara Chagiga that the Kruvim had the faces of what?
Children.
Of babies.
Kerubia.
Kerubia, right. Rubia is a yanuka, is a child. And why? Ki nar Yisrael v'oavav. Because this apostle in Tanakh, in Sefer Yoshua, that God loves nar Yisrael. So one of the great Bali Musar says the father of Sidcha Zissel, says that what does the Baal HaTurim mean? Why is it so important that the Kruvim look like Yanuka, like children, like babies? Lahoros, to teach us that Am Yisrael, Kikotin Kigodol, even if we're great, we should be like Tanim, like youngsters. Lahachzik Atzma Kenar, person considers himself like a Nar. Why? Lios Ole, he should rise, he should ascend, Umispatech, and develop Yom Liom, on a daily basis. Not to be satisfied with what he has. Not to sit back on his laurels. He should be like the Kruvim, who are Parshei Knofim Lamala. Right? They have She'ifot, they have aspirations, they want to go higher and higher. And therefore, here's the pasuk that you quoted, Umesharso Yoshua ben Nun Nar, that he, Yoshua, no matter what age he was, he considered himself as a Nar. He had that measure of Bakoshes Chachma. He had She'ifos. He wanted to go higher and higher. He was never satisfied with what he had. He was a Nar. And that's why, and that's how he was Zocha to the great achievement and the level that he achieved. He is going to be the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's interesting that Yoshua is called Yoshua bin Nun. Bin Nun is Miloshin Bina. He's a Navon. And amongst all the Talmidim of Moshe Rabbeinu, Ein Navon v'chacham kamo. He, Yoshua, is the greatest Navon. And why? Because Nar lo yomish mitocho. Because the Shoresh, the roots of his being a Navon, lies is planted in the fact that he's lomosh mitochol. He has such a bakoshes chachma. That's what it says, that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, who's the first person that he met? It was Yoshua. Where was Yoshua? Rashi says that he pitched his tent for 40 days and 40 nights at the foot of the mountain. Why? Why did he leave his family? The answer is he wanted to get that extra moment to be with his Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu from the time it would take Moshe to get from the foot of the mountain over to the Machne. He didn't want to lose one opportunity. Such was his insatiable Sheifa, his love for Chachma. And if you take a look at the Rebbe Elimelech Milozhinsk, who says in the Noam Elimelech, Pischuli Sharei Tzedek. We say this all the time, especially in Hallel. Pischuli Sharei Tzedek, correct?
Yeah.
What does this mean, Sharei Tzedek? He says, Ikar Midas HaTzadik. You want to know, how do you define a tzadik? He's a person, Sha'oved La Bore Baruch Hu, he Maven Yosef Sheni Yochel Agia. He understands that the best that he can get to is the Shar. He can only get to the gate because God and is infinite, ain't sof, but he understands that nevertheless, even if he can't come to the tachlis, to the ultimate end zone, but that's his avodah pischuli. He has a desire. He supplicates Hashem, open for me the sharei tzedek, and I will go into the shar. I will serve Hashem. I will go beyond myself, and I'll try to achieve whatever I can achieve, even though I know I can't reach the ultimate goal. And therefore, when it says in Pirkei Avos, "B'makom she'ein anoshim ishtadel yos ish," says Rabbeinu Yonah, what does it mean? And this is on the top of the left column, number 22. He says, "Ein anoshim gedolim imcha." What does that mean? "Ein anoshim gedolim imcha." You're on the top of the top. You've reached the apex. You're the Gadol Ador. You are the prime Chacham. But nevertheless, Al Timna, don't be satisfied with that. Don't prevent yourself from going more in Chachma. He says that even if you won't find anyone who's as great as you on the face on the planet of the earth in Chachma, nevertheless, Tira Atzmacha, view yourself Ke'ilu, as if you live in an older generation, in a previous generation of Chachmei HaTalmud. And what would you be like in the Chachmei HaTalmud? Could you achieve their level? So therefore, if you think that you could achieve that level, but imagine yourself in the Tekufa, in the period of the Nevi'im. Imagine yourself back in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Could you reach the Maila and the Chachma of these people? And if you put yourself mentally into that state of mind, then Bazelo Tisrasha Liolam Yulimod, you'll never give up and never take it easy on study. But the Chol Yom Haskein, you'll go on and project yourself Hosiv Al Chachma, etc., etc. And Rabbeinu Yonah has this as a theme, a recurrent theme in the writings of Rabbeinu Yonah, whether it's his Pirush on Avos, whether it's his famous work on Shari Tshuva. He says the following in Shari Tshuva. He says that there are many mitzvahs in the Torah that command us to choose the higher level of life. For example, Ubacharto Bachayim. Or in Talmud Torah it says, V'dibarto Bom, with regard to imitating Hashem, V'alachto Bidrachov, with regard to Bitochon, Tomim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha. You have to think and contemplate the greatness of God via Data Hayom Vashivosovakulakim, etc., etc. All these are great milos, and the Torah commands us in each case to try to achieve those milos. Via Data Imlevavecha. And what all these psukim are telling us about these milos of avoda, these great levels of ava and so forth and so on, l'chol achas meheno kama madregos, there are so many different levels of bitachon and avas haTorah and avas Hashem, and yet Hashem says, bavur milos ha'elu nivra adam. And this is what your goal in his life. Why did God create you? What justifies your existence? Nevertheless, Hashem says, Nikra akol, kol asher nikra b'shmi b'chodi b'rasi matikfas hanivra. What is the purpose and what is the aspiration of a created being? He should put all his work into these fundamentals and these great milos and try to achieve, like milos habachira, milos ha'avas haTorah, and so forth and so on. And he says, there are different madregos, and you have to keep going and going and trying to reach a higher and higher madrega. And therefore, if you take a look on page 4, which is number 25, in the Shari Avod of Rabbi Yona, he says, "Hachai yitein alibo yasin kol magmaso lavad is boro tomid." He should dedicate himself with all his energy and all his heart to achieve greater milos and rise higher and higher to achieve what for him potentially is the milo of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And it's unbelievable. If you talk about Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, they maximize their potential. Hamevin Yavin V'yaskil Sharei Lahasig Malas Osher V'Kovot. If a person wants to achieve wealth or glory, Yishtadal Adam, he'll put in all his efforts and he won't be lazy about it. And how much more so when it comes to the Milos of Avoda, these Midos, which make money and wealth insignificant completely, he should certainly energize himself and inspire himself. Lahasig Milos Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, etc., Milos Gedolos, and he should know that with all his ishtadlus, he will try to project himself more and more, higher and higher. Yosef Ometz Lischazek Ulalos Mimido Lemidim Madrigal Madrigal Vodis Boro. He should have a chemda, a taiva, a kisufim, longings and desires to achieve avoda, even masha'ein yodom ha'segis. Those are the key words here. Even if it would seem on the surface level that he won't be able to achieve that. But nevertheless, there is such a thing as going beyond oneself and expanding one's potential, so to speak, by stretching it out even further. Holichal chachamim v'yechkom. He seeks out the chachamim. And not only with regard to chachamim, but ken yaseh b'chol midu mida. Every single midah, he should have a chemda to try to achieve that midah. And he should find methods in which he can expand. And last but not least, if you take a look at the pasuk u'bachartu b'chayim, the pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, "Leman tichya atov v'zarecha," this u'bacharta that's supposed to project us, that a person should be margulis atzmo, he should train himself, that Yosef, they should add the yarba and expand lasos Yosef, Yosef afili Yosef imashi yesh b'kocho, even beyond what he had in his power before. He prepared himself for one level because that's what he had, but now he's achieved that level, he can achieve the next level. He keeps expanding his base and going beyond. And therefore, b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam shetorosum naso, a person who's dedicated to the study of Torah, laharos es atzmo, kiluhu mispar toldos adam, as if God created the world for him. And he has the potential to achieve greater and greater. And this is not called yura. If he gives himself a pat on the back and he says, "I can do more," don't think that that's gaiva. That's not gaiva. But zei kashit atzmo b'tachshitei talmidei chachamim lahashlim atzmo b'torah mitzvahs. In this case, we allow him to wear the begadim, so to speak, the garments of a talmid chacham, to project him even further. Now, if we go back to the first source on page 1, since it's already getting close to Pesach, Chacham HaOmer. So the Alter from Slobodka, which you'll see in the last source on your page, number 4, page 4, number 28, has a little bit of a knetch, a kvetch. You know, there's Haggadah that the Chevron Yeshiva put out. The Rosh Yeshiva contributed different things that they had to say on the Haggadah and what they heard from their Rebbeim. So they have different pieces there in this Haggadah, which is called Knesset Yisrael Chevron, from the Alter from Slobodka. So, you know, the roots of Chevron Yeshiva back in Slobodka. And on this word Chacham, which is the part of the Haggadah of the Dalet Banim, the Chacham, the Alter Slobodka used to say the following. The Pasuk says, "Yitein lechacham v'yachkeim od." And what is Shlomo Melech saying over here? God gives chacham to a chacham, and then he becomes more of a chacham. He says the following. Start from the end of the pasuk. The last part of the pasuk is v'yachkeim ot. How do you achieve v'yachkeim ot? And what is v'yachkeim ot in relationship to tein lechacham? How do you connect it together? Says the Alter, v'yachkeim od is a t'nai. If you want to be a chacham, what you need as a precondition is v'yachkeim od. In other words, Kifi Shir Hachaser, if he realizes that he's missing, he's lacking in Viachkem Od, meaning he may be a great scholar, but he knows that he's missing more and more and more, the greater his sense and his appreciation of the fact that he needs more Chachma, Kain Chaser B'Kabbalas HaChachma B'Tein L'Chacham. God will give him Chachma because he himself is looking to Viachkem Od. So the more that there's Viachkem Od, the more there will be V'Tein L'Chacham. So let's go back and just summarize
what's
in one sentence.
What's the last word there?
Let me just summarize because I realize I'm late for my next shiur. Right. But I just want to summarize the following. We started by asking Reb Chaim Volozhin's question, how can the Torah say that the Ish is called a Chacham Lev, and then it says, Asher Nasan Hashem Chachma Belibo. And the answer is that Chacham Lev means the desire, the craving for Chachma. If a person has a tremendous desire for Chachma, then Hashem will grant him Chachma. We spoke about Shlomo HaMelech and his desire for Chachma. We spoke about the fact that the Chachmei Lev came forward and said, Vayigbal Libo, they had the element of Nisol Libo, they wanted more and more to fulfill God's will, and Hashem granted them abilities that would seem to be beyond their capacity. Rabbi Yonah repeats this as a refrain, that a person has to always strive for greater and greater milas, yiratzon, that we should dedicate ourselves and energize ourselves to try to achieve more and more and more, and Hashem will grant us not only chachma, but everything that we ask for. Kei yiratzon. Amen.